Well, friction's good. Okay, thanks for being here. Blustery's the word. Blustery Sunday morning. Boy, nice to feel that sunshine coming through for those of you guys that can feel the sun's rays. But thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing the church into this space. Just a few things to put in front of you, just to remind you what's going on. The first thing is we are collecting information to redo our database. Really exciting. We look forward to any time we get to do a new database. I'm kidding. Okay, so just for a couple more weeks, we're going to be collecting information. You could do that on the CCC app. You could do that online. And you can also do it in the back. Just in the next couple weeks, if you guys would be faithful to give us your info, then we can get everything organized here. So thanks for considering that. We have Christmas Eve services that are going to be on Christmas Eve, which is this year. The Christmas Eve services fall on Christmas Eve, which is uncanny how that worked out. Two services, one at 5, one at 6:45. And we're going to sing a lot of songs, and it's just going to be really cool. So come hang out. If you've never seen this place at night on Christmas, it's worth its weight in gold. Just come to see the room. But it's going to be awesome to get everybody together and celebrate Christmas on the night before. So that's happening. And then also, you guys know, we talked about this last week. We've got a marriage intensive coming up in January. Just a clarification on that, the price is per couple, not per person. So just wanted to clarify that. But we believe that God wants us to have healthy and strong marriages. And sometimes we need an energy infusion into our marriages to kind of like propel us into the next level. And so it's an intensive. It's not a retreat. It's an intensive. And so we want to see the Spirit of God pour in and do some really cool things in marriages. So I encourage you to pray that through. Think about that. We can take as many as 20 couples, but we'd love to take you. That's in January. So information in your bulletin and online about that. Okay, I'm going to do a couple more things this morning. I need to invite some friends up in order to do those things. And the first group of friends I want to invite up is the Dove family. Doves, come on up. Can you guys give a hand for the Doves? Okay, about 3 years ago, Chris and Marissa and Gideon, who's downstairs right now, came here from Kentucky. You were on staff doing kids ministry down there, and then came back north, came home, and have been involved significantly here, serving here in kids, which is why you don't often see Chris and Marissa, because they're downstairs pouring themselves out for the youngsters. You guys are not going to be doing that anymore, which hurts my heart. And it's sad, but you're not going to be doing that for some pretty awesome reasons. Tell us what you guys are up to, what's next for you.
In a month from today, we will be getting on a plane and going to the Dominican Republic as missionaries with Project Manana International. So, and that is not something we've taken lightly. It's been a long process for me. Back in 2002, 2003, I did a mission trip in Zimbabwe. And from then on, I knew at some point I'd be in the mission field. For Marissa, it was 2011. We're kind of talking about days of significance today, a certain day. But for Marissa, a day in 2011 was a very significant day. And that was her call. And so we've been hurry up and waiting. And so for the last few years, and then last year, we went to a missions conference and met Project Manana. And this last year, we've been courting them, kind of. And so we leave in a month.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited for the opportunity to go and serve with them. It's a ministry that's rooted in Dominican people. They have 39 Dominican staff members, and then there's 6 Americans, and we're of that group. So we're excited. They do discipleship, mentoring, clean water, education, and we know that, you know, the mentoring in the discipleship are the most important things that we're going to go do, the water and the education and nutrition. That's just kind of a way to get into those places. So as Chris goes to work in the barrio as the discipleship coordinator, and I'll be in the office as their office administrator, we're going to use our gifts, so we're excited.
Yep, and we're pumped that go ahead. You guys get to do that.
And I just wanted to thank Brian and this church. Has been a great 3 years here. It was a healing place, a great place just for us as a family. And we always working in a church, you never have to find a church to go to. And me and Marissa went to a few churches and we came here. And we weren't here very long. And we kind of just looked at each other and we're like, all right. Like, here it is. So thank you so much.
We are so glad that you guys chose to be here and to bless us and to serve us. You guys have been awesome. So we're going to pray for them as they head out in a month. And yeah, it's really cool. So Chris is heading out into the villages to do his thing. Marissa's going to get that office sliced and diced and get that thing humming efficiently, which is her gift. And it's so cool that you guys get to do that together as a couple. And so the next year for these guys is going to be a tough one. They have to acclimate to a new culture. They've got to learn a new language, right? All sorts of things need to happen. And so we want to pray for you guys, ask God to bless you through this next year and to lead you on into some pretty incredible things down there. So would you guys join me as we pray for these guys? Father in heaven, thanks for Chris and Marissa, for Gideon who's downstairs. God, we love them. Thanks for the opportunity to get to have walked with them these last 3 years, God, as they have been here. And now, God, thanks for the opportunity to walk with them as they head south. And Father, we pray as their church, God, that as they go, that you would make this next year an incredible one for them. God, we know there's all sorts of things that need to happen. Just they're going to have to go through the freak out phase of a new culture and a new way of doing things and new food and all sorts of things that they're not familiar with. God, would you help them to enter into that process well? Would you sustain them? God, as they learn the language, would you help it to come quickly? And Father, through all of the logistics and all of those tedious things they'll have to do, Father, would you surprise them and give them and gift them great relationships on the staff team that they'll be working with. God, give them great relationships with people that are far from you, that they're going to be living around and among. God, just give them great connections and networks of people that you would just use those relationships to point people to Jesus. God, we ask you to do it. And Father, beyond this year, we trust that you will lead them into incredible things. God, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done more so in the Dominican Republic through them being there. So God, would you show them favor in that way? And would you be glorified in them and through them and give them great joy in the process? We entrust them to you as they go. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Love you. Thanks, brother. Okay. Now, the next person we're going to invite up, his name is Kemp Boyd. Kemp, come on up here. Give Kemp a hand as he heads up here. Kemp, you guys have the honor of hearing Kemp. Kemp's going to teach us this morning, but before we do, we got to do something special. This is not just a normal teaching. This is a special teaching, but it was 4 years ago. Megan and I had just come to Highland Square. I think I'd been here 2 weeks. And I kind of positioned myself as a door greeter inside of the old building that we were at. And there was one Sunday where, you know, I kind of look down the hall and see people that are coming. Everybody's new to me. And I see this cool cat walking down the hallway. And brother was suiting and booting, which I didn't know what that terminology was until this guy right here told me what that, but he was looking good. And so Kemp was suiting and booting, coming down the hall, introduced myself, and we met. And you were looking good. One of the things you first noticed about this church is that we didn't look good.
I'm
putting words in his mouth.
Yes,
we tend to be a somewhat...
That's not my words.
Those are not Kemp's words. Those
it was
are my
very
words.
Casual.
We're
it
casual.
Was a casual group of people, and I was like, man, I ain't really used to that. I'm used to, you know, being suited and booted.
Yep.
You know, you got a tie on and a suit, and so it was different.
And then
different
it got worse for you, because then after he notices the casual attire that some of us roll with, some of you guys look really good, I don't, that's okay. But then Kemp and Stacy walked into the sanctuary, and they saw people doing what? What were we doing?
Eating donuts and drinking coffee in the sanctuary. That was like, hold on now, I don't think this is God, but, you know, I don't know, because I was just raised differently, spiritually coming up, so that was just new to us. And so I was like, oh, stay, yeah, this is done deal, stay, we out of here. Until I looked over, and she's eating donuts and drinking coffee.
Stacy's like, cheers, I found my church, this is it.
And I'm like, where's my wife at? So, but lo and behold, we're here, and man, just so honored to be here to be able to serve with you guys.
Yep, and so for 4 years, we've had the opportunity to get to know Kemp and Stacy and observe them. And one of the things, it doesn't take you long to see this, but Kemp is doing some incredible work outside of these walls. You guys know him as the football coach at Akron, Kenmore, Garfield, a whole host of other things that Kemp is involved in outside these walls. And so at CCC, there's this designation that we bestow on people who there's something going on there where they have a ministry, something they're leaning into that essentially what Kemp does outside these walls is he shepherds young men. He pastors a football team. And there's this thing that we do called commissioning, where essentially we knight the an ambassador of Jesus on behalf of our church in a really cool area, oftentimes with missionaries and people like that we will commission. And so a year ago, we began a process to move towards commissioning.
Yes.
And over the past year, you've had to read some books.
Yes.
Write some papers.
Yes.
And have some conversations.
Yes.
And Kemp did excellent on all of that. He checked all the boxes. And so this morning, we want to celebrate with Kemp and Stacy that Kemp is officially commissioned as a part of CCC for ministry. And so, yeah. And so Kemp now is recognized in the state of Ohio as a minister, which means that for those of you that are young adults looking to get married at some point, this guy can do your wedding, which is just a cool side note. But over the course of the time, as we've seen Kemp active in ministry outside the walls of the church, we've seen the Lord's hand on him in growing him as a minister inside of these walls. So Kemp is not a new face for you, because every single week he shepherds us. And the gifts that God has given him, he utilizes for the sake of lifting this body up. And so we want to honor that. And so this morning we celebrate that Kemp is commissioned at CCC. He's going to teach us. He's going to lead us. Kemp, thank you. And Stacy, you guys came here 4 years ago.
Yes.
There's been a lot of transition and things that have happened over the last 4 years. You guys have been nothing but faithful and supportive. You have continued to pour yourself out and to long suffer for the sake of this body, and we are better because of it. So thanks for your faithfulness here.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for pouring yourself out and for letting your wife pour out for this body.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for bringing the word this morning.
Thank you, brother.
So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to get out of your way. Father in heaven, thanks for Kemp and Stacy and their beautiful family. God, thank you. You brought them here at just the right time, and God, and you kept them here for such this time. God, thank you for the giftings that you have placed in Kemp. God, would you continue to call those out, God, both outside the walls of this church and inside the walls, and would you continue to use them, God, to make yourself known, to lift your glory among us, and to lift us, your people. God, I pray that you would just shine on him as he opened your word this morning. And God, would your spirit translate his words into our hearts, that we might be able to receive from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and glory to God. Okay. All right. That was a little bit not what I was expecting, but it's okay. We can work with it. Good morning and glory to God in the highest. Amen. 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 Man, very just humbled this morning. Very humbled and also just honored more than anything else, man, to call you guys my church family. Past 3 weeks for us has been challenging, but I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for all you guys being there with us in support, with prayer, and also food. Food is a great thing in our house. So just thank you guys so much, man. I thank you on behalf of Stacy and our entire family. It's been challenging times, man, but God has been faithful. God has been good all the way through this, and so just very honored, man, to call you guys my brothers and my sisters in the faith. Very just privileged, man, to call Brian my pastor, but more importantly, my friend. That means a lot to me, and I'm going to probably get a little choked up, but I'm going to be all right. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to break in some word. Is that all right? I don't hear the people in the back, so I can turn my volume down, so I don't preach to you guys this morning, amen. Before we get into it, man, I also want to thank you guys as a church family, as a ministry. I want to say it was maybe a year or two ago, you took on our football program as a ministry. And, man, and a special thank you to Michelle Gregory, Michelle is the person I call whenever there's a need. And at first, I was a little bit uncomfortable calling, right, because I'm thinking, like, you know, what can I really call and really ask for? And I know it's a ministry, but until Michelle's like, hey, Kent, we got this stuff sitting over before, you got to do something with it. And I said, okay. And so we take kind of inventory of what our players need, what's going on, not just on the field stuff, but outside the field stuff. And so we had our banquet about a month ago. And so you guys were able to outfit all of our players with hoodies. And so really appreciate that. I know it might seem like a small thing to you guys when we talk about hoodies, but for these young men, it was like giving them $1 million. Like, the hoodie this day and age is an essential wardrobe and an outfit. So, man, it's really appreciated. If Daniel wears hoodies. So I knew I'd get some for Daniel this morning. He is a hoodie fan. Amen. But thank you guys so much for your support. I know you guys are not able to make it to every game that we have, but your prayers, your support, and your encouragement is really needed. Amen. So thank you so much for that. Also, I want to, you know, I have to look out there. And sometimes you look out, you see people that you haven't seen with you before. And I see a brother, and I'm not going to put him on Front Street right now, but I might will because I'm that type of guy, and I see it as being fun and funny to me. But he's a brother, man, that has stuck closer than a friend for me. And he's not that type of guy. He's not a warm and mushy guy. He's more of a comedian and a jokester. But he's been with me, man, for 5 years as my assistant coach, man. And see, unlike everybody else, I can tell them, hey, I want y'all to show up, man, because I'm preaching on Sunday. And if you don't come, we're going to have a different set of problems. But no, really, man, these guys are faithful to these young men that we coach, and they're faithful to the program. And I invited them here because I said, hey, we have to start doing something different. As brother, I said, we got to start fellowshipping together and serving together. And it just can't be a thing when we're together throughout the course of a season. But I said, man, I need to be more integrated in your life, and I want you more integrated into mine. And for some reason, they just buy in and say, all right, man, I'll be there. And so glory be to God for that, man. I thank him for that and love him for that as well. We're going to get into some good stuff this morning. Brian had talked to me about, hey, what the series is going to be about the night that changed everything. And he says, hey, Kemp, you know, talk about some of the characters and some of the people that played a role in Jesus's birth and how he came to be about being, and talk about some of those people. And I said, well, man, this is very easy for me. If I'm going to talk about anybody, I'm going to talk about myself. Because that night changed everything for me, right? And so I'm just joking. I'm not going to talk about myself, but I like to make Brian a little bit uncomfortable when I get up here because I know, you know, he's put all this time into me. It's like, man, he can't get up there and just go bananas, but I will try to go bananas today because that's the only way I know to go. Amen. But we will have a good time, and you will get some word today that I hope helps to encourage you and helps to admonish us all. Amen. So if we turn to Luke chapter 2, we're going to go to the 8th verse. And who I'm choosing to talk about is the shepherds. The shepherds, man, this night changed everything for them. And we're going to get into why that happened. And it reads, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, I want to stop right there for a second. I want to, you know, we see this many times in Scripture where an angel is going to appear or show to somebody. And probably one of the first things that angels always has to do is say, hey, man, listen, I ain't here to hurt you. It's all good. And that's kind of always the introduction to an angel. The angel has to preface, say, hey, man, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm not here to hurt you. Don't have any fear. This angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told to them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, we could read that, we can close the Bibles, and we can go home. Because that was enough. There was enough that tracked kind of what happened, the who it happened to, and the why it happened. And we can kind of leave and go and be blessed because of it. But I want to talk to you just quickly about some of the things in this passage that I think is very relatable to us today. One thing I want to do is I want to describe to you the shepherds during that time. They were described as being people that were dishonest, that were lower class, that were smelly, and that they stunk, and they were prone to break Jewish laws. We hear that description, and the question that I ask myself and that I ask God is, God, why did you choose the lowest members of society to entrust the greatest truth to? God, why did you choose the lowest members of society to reveal your greatest truth to? The description of these people were lower class, they were smelly, they stunk, and they were prone to break the Jewish laws, but for some reason, the God in heaven chose to reveal the greatest truth known to man to the shepherds who were described this way. He chose to reveal this truth not only to the description of the shepherds, but what their daily task is every day is grazing and watering the sheep, protecting the sheep from thieves and other animals, and milking and shearing them when needed. But for some reason, God chose to reveal the greatest truth to the lowest of classes in society during that time. And I say, God, why? Why did you choose to do this? And probably the easy answer could be, man, that's just God, right? And God can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants to do it through, correct? We can say that, man, God has no respect of a person, so, man, God can, he can tell whoever he wants to tell whatever he wants to tell. But this night was a different type of night. And you know, then it begs the question, too, well, God, why did you choose to reveal this at night? It was dark, everybody was sleeping, wasn't nothing going on. I mean, you could have did it at noon, man, in the market square and just said, hey, listen, this is what's happening. Big reason, man, God is so counter the culture that we live in. God is not looking for validation. He's not looking for praise. He's not looking for accolades. What he's looking for and what he's searching for is those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for those worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is just a great segue. I want to just, man, because I like surprises. And so when I walked in this morning and I see Steve up there praising, I was surprised. But I was pleasantly surprised because the brother had some belt out, didn't he? That brother wasn't singing. He sang, amen? Come on now, I'm going to educate you a little bit. He didn't sing. He sang. Amen, and that was a good thing. But here's the thing. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for sometimes the unfamiliar. God is looking for the things that we say, well, it's supposed to be this way. But now God says, no, I can do it any way that I want to, through whom I want to do it through. And that's the beauty of God, right? God doesn't have necessarily a list of prerequisites and a checkbox. He just says, oh, man, I want to do this because, man, it's just different. Or it's different from what we expect. Kemp at one time was a lot different from what anybody expected because I was somebody before I was the person that stands before you now. But God chose to put something in me, gifts and callings and talents that, man, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. But then we get really caught up in saying, well, this is who people say that I am. And it would have been very easy for those shepherds, and I'm sure they was, really caught up in who the society said that they were. Where they're dishonest, they stink, they're the lowest of the low. And so really, they had no thought on receiving that type of information that night because, man, why didn't God reveal it to the dignitaries? Why didn't he reveal it to the high priest, the religious leaders, a king, or a rich person? Come on now, they had credit, right? They were the high class in society, but yet and still, God chose to reveal the greatest truth known to mankind to shepherds tending a flock. And I want to talk to you for a minute about these shepherds and the sheep, because neither the shepherds nor the sheep were ordinary shepherds nor sheep. There was a place that is mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures called Madal Adar. Translated, that means the tower of the flock. And you can go back and read and reference this in Genesis 35, verse 16 through 21, and also in Micah 4 and 8, where in Micah 4 and 8, it actually prophesies of the Messiah. And so Madal Adar was a place that was translated to be called the Tower of the Flock, where this was the place that only the sheep that were going to be used to be sacrificed in the temple grazed at. Those sheep were not like all the other sheep. They were born there as lambs, and so they would identify the male lambs that would be carried in and hopefully one day to be sacrificed in the temple. But the sheep that oversaw that, the shepherds, I'm sorry, that oversaw that, wasn't just ordinary shepherds. They were specially trained to certify, to either say, hey, these sheep are good enough for the temple sacrifice, and if they wasn't, they were designated to common use. That was their responsibility. And so when they looked for that male sheep, the male sheep had, it couldn't have anything. It had to be perfect in the sense of what they deemed to be perfect. So it couldn't have any spot or blemish or any such thing named among them. And as I began to study that, I said, man, that reminds me of somebody that I know. So that was their task, and while they were tasked with that type of responsibility, they were not allowed to participate in any of the rituals that happened in the temple. So we want you to get the sheep ready, but you can't come in because we don't need you in here during this time, but you're more than welcome to get the sheep ready. Man, y'all don't hear me, but it's okay. I'm going to talk to somebody that hears what's happening and going on. Because here's the thing. If we're all being honest with ourselves, man, I've been that person, right? I've been in that position where it says, hey, we really like what you're doing and we like what you said, but you know what? You're not ready for that yet. You're not ready for that yet. We need you to go get some more training. We need you to go to a couple of more meetings. We need you to go do a couple of more classes in order to be ready for this. Come on now, if that's just me, then I'm going to praise on my own. Because maybe that's happened to some of us. Because we've been weighed down by what the world says we can and cannot do. And so therefore, we have made ourselves validated by the world's standards. And we forgot all about what God says about us. Amen. We've lost sight of what the Father in heaven, who in the image we've been created in, has said about us. And we've taken on more of what the Word says. So now we have fallen under the condemnation of society, similar to these shepherds. But God blesses shepherds because it says that what? The shepherds were keeping watch over the flock by night. They were working. They were active. They were doing something. And so as they begin to prepare the sheep to be sacrificed in the temple, and those sheep that were without spot or blemish, the next stage in the process was they had to be wrapped in swaddling garments, because when they took them to the temple, they didn't want them to get bruised, so they wrapped them. Come on now. They wrapped them in swaddling garments to keep them intact. Man, I'm going to get to running here in a minute. Verse 11, I want to go here. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ Jesus." That's who was being born. And so to hear that, and then God, being such a strategist, goes on to say, "And this will be a sign for you," speaking to what they already know, "this will be a sign to you that the baby will be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Now, I have to believe that if you're a shepherd at that time, you're like, "Well, hold up. I know that when I wrap a sheep in swaddling, I know the significance of that." So they had to be tipped off to say, "Man, hold up, man, this is okay. I'm down. I'm with you." And then it says, "Suddenly a multitude of angels appeared, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go.'" They didn't spend a lot of time contemplating, saying, "Hey, man, do you believe what we just saw? Do you believe what we just heard?" But no, they talked amongst each other and they said, "Hey, man, we have to go. We have to go, man, and we have to locate what we were just told about, because what God of heaven just told us is that there's a baby in a manger that's wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, you know and I know what that means, man, because we've been out here shepherding the flock for years." And it said they went at their leisure, walking, not in a hurry. We'll get there after a while. Right? That's what it says, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. They said they just went at their leisure, "Hey, man, we'll get there in a minute, man. We're going to continue to do what we do in these flocks, man, because we got to do this, because, man, we can't go over and run over there, because, man, we're the lowest of the low. We can't leave our post or our station." No. The word of God said, man, they went and they made haste. "We got to get there right now. We got to go. There's nothing for us to wait on. We got to go right now, right this second, and we got to set our eyes on the Son of God, the true Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Man, we got to go and see that." He goes on to say that after they went and they saw it, and man, I love this, right? Because we see this all the time here when we're in fellowship and we're praising together. But he goes on to say how, "And when the shepherds returned," meaning that they returned back to their post, but they turned back different, right? They didn't return the same way that they left, amen? So let's talk about this for a minute. So you mean to tell me when I have an experience with Jesus, I don't come back the same way that I met him? Man, y'all. Now y'all better come on now. You mean to tell me that when I have an experience with Jesus, my elder brother, the true Lamb of God, the Messiah, the risen King who takes away the sins of the world, you mean to tell me that when I go back to my house and when I go back to the marketplace, that when I go back to my church, when I go back to my community, that I don't come back the same as when I was before? Now, come on now. They didn't go back the same. It says they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Thank you. Sometimes you need that permission to go ahead and just preach. I appreciate that. But that's the thing. They didn't return the same. They had this great, tremendous experience, right? They're the lowest of the low. They have been identified, titled, subjected to whatever they were subjected to, and they were just some shepherds tending the flock. The angel of the Lord showed up, revealed the greatest truth ever known to man unto them. They make haste, they go, run over. I gotta see it. Not only did they go and see it, but it says what? It went on to say that what? They had to do something. So they ran over there, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. The first evangelist of the good news of the gospel. They said, man, let me tell you what I was told about this baby. Let me tell you what was revealed unto me about this child. I don't know if they're afraid. I don't think they were, because I think the excitement just had them going and moving. Amen. And sometimes it's good for us to have that excitement to say, man, I just had an experience with God where he shared something with me that was so strong and so profound that, man, I talked to my friend about it, and then we said, man, we got to go, and, man, we ran over there. So I have to believe that when they showed up, they were probably breathing a little heavy. They were probably sweating, but they said, let me tell you what God told me about this baby. Because when the angel came, the angel Titus says, I have good news of great joy. And now what we encourage people all throughout history and all throughout the world is, hey, we want to expose you to the good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who not only is Savior, but is Lord of our life. Man. Now, I'm sure Mary, Mary already knew, and she kind of, but I have to believe that Joseph's kind of like, well, man, what? But it's all right, Joseph. It's going to be all right, brother. But I love how when they came back different from which they came. Because I'm sure before the angel showed up, there was probably some weariness and some heaviness because, man, you've been out there all night tending these sheep. You've been beaten up and beat down by society, amen. Society's been telling you something about yourself that you really believe in your heart. Man, I know I'm not really that way, but man, how am I supposed to stand up against all these things that I'm being told? Now, come on, saints. I've had to stand in that place before. I've had to stand in the place where people were telling me who I was, amen, and it made me question who I am. And if I'm questioning who I am, I'm questioning what God is saying about me in his word, amen. God tells me that I'm from above and not beneath, but I've gotten people telling me, man, you are beneath me, amen. Come on, you don't hear me, man. I'm telling you where I've been at so I can relate to this word about the shepherds, amen. I know what it's like to be told that you can't have, you can't do something, whether it's based on who I am, my lack of education, the color of my skin, or what side of the tracks that I came from, amen. But see, here's the thing, though. In the kingdom of God, God ain't got no tracks, man. He ain't got nothing but gold, but roads paved in gold, amen. He has nothing for you but brothers and sisters who's going to love you without reproach, amen. He is no respecter of person. So it doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter with him. Ethnicity doesn't matter with him. Age doesn't matter with him. Where you were born doesn't matter with him. What you wear to church don't matter with him. God wants to make sure that we can accept and receive and agree with who he's called us to be. And we are constantly becoming that. That doesn't mean that we won't have moments of doubt. That doesn't mean we won't have moments of disbelief. But as we learned months ago from our pastor, let's acknowledge those moments. Let's acknowledge them to a brother, to a sister, or even to ourselves. That, hey, right now, I don't feel that way. 2 weeks ago, I didn't feel like running and jumping and shouting and praising God, amen? That wasn't in me 2 weeks ago to go and do that. There was a time that I needed to grieve and to mourn, and I needed to be a support to my wife and to my children. That don't mean I stopped believing and trusting God. Now, that's not what I'm saying. But we have to acknowledge there's times in our lives, man, where, man, I ain't high, man. I ain't all the way up here today. I ain't Brother Kemp today, man. Brother Kemp is heavy. I'm not saying physically heavy now. Watch yourself. I'm talking about just spiritually, man, heavy, weighed down and burdened. That, man, if I extend a text, a phone call, or an email to you, I know, man, that my brothers and sisters are praying, that are keeping us lifted up before God, that are taking me and my family to the altar, man, and going boldly into the throne room of grace, man, and lifting us up, amen? That's why I stay here and I remain here. It's because, man, the sincerity and the authenticity, man, that I feel when I come here, it's overwhelming. The word that those shepherds heard was an overwhelming word. That's a lot to take in. It's a lot, man. And I mean, and you know, God don't do nothing small. He brought all the heavenly hosts and everybody, right? And I don't know how many shepherds it was. It could have been two, could have been one, could have been five, could have been 10. But I had to think, it was like, whoa. This is a lot, but God wanted to make sure, man, that you understand the seriousness of this moment, of what's really happening and what's going on, amen? Glory to God. During that time, like we said, man, the word shepherd, man, didn't carry a really good description. It didn't carry one of, you know, of great amazement and, oh my gosh, I'm really wanting to be a shepherd, right? That's what I'm really aiming to do. I want to go and be a shepherd, man, and, you know, be smelly and unkept and, you know, be viewed as being dishonest. But again, those shepherds and even how we identify shepherds was never the same after that moment. We talk about the night that changed everything. It was a night that changed everything for those shepherds, but it was a night that changed everything simply for the title of what it meant to be a shepherd. We learn that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of shepherds, that he is the bishop and the shepherds of our soul. We give pastors the distinction of being shepherds of the flock of God's people. And I don't believe that Brian's dishonest. He may smell from time to time because he's got all them livestock out there, amen? But again, it's funny what the world puts on us, but then how God can come and put his super on the natural things of the world. And what the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for his good. So when we ask the question, the why them, God? I believe God identified the faithfulness of those shepherds throughout centuries and generations of them being diligent at their job. Maybe not complaining about, oh, well, we can't participate in that, but how intentional do you have to be to check every sheep to make sure there's not a spot or blemish to make sure they're able to go into the temple to be sacrificed before the Most High God. See, God didn't lose that. God sees and watches everything. And so God chose to reveal his greatest truth to the least of these. And when we read in the book of Matthew, when it talks about, Jesus talks about the laborers, right? And he talks about how there was a man who had laborers coming in. And the man chose to pay the ones that came last before the ones that came first. And they made a big deal about it, like, man, what? And he's like, well, hey, man, it's kind of mine. And so that's an essence of the first will be last and the last will be first based on society. Because based on society in that time, the high priest, you would have thought, man, they were waiting. They knew. And so they were waiting. So I have to believe that, man, when you have shepherds running throughout the streets the next day talking about this, they kind of look like, man, come on. How do they know? But we learned last week when Brian was up here teaching about King Herod. King Herod believed enough to say, we got to do something about this. We got to stop all this noise and all this commotion. Because anytime Jesus comes on the scene, he's going to cause a commotion, amen? He's going to cause a stirring and an upheaval of praise and of worship, that things ain't going to be the same as they were before, amen? And there was a little bit of how things changed because, man, once you have that experience, it never goes back to being the same as it was. The faithfulness of the shepherds was the revelation that had to be. And I believe Jesus saw their hearts. And I believe that's what God has to see in us. And we have to trust that. We have to trust God so much that, man, okay, you didn't get the promotion that you wanted. You didn't get the position that you wanted. You didn't get the house, the car, whatever, the relationship that you wanted, right? Man, you got to trust God anyhow. You got to know that, man, not only does God got your next, but God's got your best. And sometimes the things that we're wanting to, that we're chasing, that we're leaning towards, is not really what's best, but it's what we want. So we have to be able to measure that, amen? We have to be able to measure, man, is this really what's right for me? I have to be able to do what? To acknowledge him in all my ways, and he will direct my path. But I have to be able to acknowledge God in that moment, in that situation of what happens. And once I do that, he will speak to me. And guess what? I won't be the same and I won't think the same. But I will be transformed to think differently and to be different. The shepherds, they were transformed from that one experience. They were no longer the same shepherds that had went over before that time. They were different forever. And the title of shepherd was different forever. The way we see shepherds now is a lot different. But that's what God can do. There's a difference in how we view ourselves from way back when, before we were in relationship with Christ, to when we are. There's a difference. There's a different experience. But here's the thing. We can have that experience every day. Let's not be satisfied with that one moment that we had that changed our life. The shepherds, they weren't satisfied with the one moment. And it shows us that they weren't, because why? They went out and told the good news. And as you begin to go out and tell the good news and you evangelize and you witness God and you witness Jesus Christ, you know what begins to happen? Those same feelings begin to come up in you over and over again. And you get happy and you get glad and you begin to smile because why? You're continuing to let yourself know, man, this is what he's done for me. And we get the awesome opportunity to share that, man, and to extend that with one another. Amen. This night changed everything for the shepherds. They have seen many lambs born and now they get to meet the Lamb of God without spot, blemish, or any such thing. They had waited their whole lives for this single moment. They made the most of their moment. And they wasn't selfish. They didn't just keep it for themselves, but they went and told people about it. They went and told people about that experience, amen? There's experiences that we're all having, man, that we got to start sharing with people, amen? We got to share the experience, man, of, man, you know, I got baptized, man. I truth told where I was today. I acknowledged that, man, I was hurting and these things was happening, but you know what? God saw me through it, amen? Got to be able to acknowledge, man, one of the toughest things, man, I had to go through, man, was knowing and hearing my daughter crying, saying, man, auntie's not breathing anymore. That was a tough deal. Tough deal, man. Not going to front that like it wasn't. It was. But even in that, God showed his glory among us. Because she was saved. She's sitting up with heavenly hosts right now, praising God, amen. Glory to God. Now, it doesn't take away the hurt, because we miss and it stings. But man, that experience with Jesus changes everything, amen. Man, come on back up. We're going to pray. We're going to get ready to sing. Man, I'm going to caution y'all right now, man. Listen, we about to praise God. Because this sister here, she about to belt out something, man. I was like, oh, my goodness. I just get to shout, man. And it's all right to shout. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, shout, man. Praise God, man. That stuff is a release, man. We can't suppress our praise for him, man. And I'm not telling you what to do. I don't want y'all to hear it that way. I'm just saying, man, it's okay, man, to unbuckle the seatbelt, amen. And let's be into this thing together, amen. I want to go ahead and just ask our prayer team to come on up, man, because I want y'all, man, to be ministering prayer to us, man, as we praise and worship. We're going to continue to set the atmosphere of just praise and of worship, man, of what God wants to do and how he's going to move, amen. If you need prayer as praise is going on, man, come on up and get prayer, man. Move. Move throughout the cabin, amen. It's okay. It's all right. If there's somebody that you want to pray for that God, go pray for them. Go pray for them. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much, Father God, for your goodness. Lord God, we thank you so much for hiding the things from the wise, but revealing them to babes, Lord. That, Father God, the stamp that society tries to put on us, Father God, it's not your stamp. It's just a worldly stamp, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that we can acknowledge maybe our hurts, maybe some of the doubts that we have, Father God, that you can come in, Father God, and mature us, Lord God, and correct us in love, Lord, that we can correct one another, that we can come and wrap our arms around each other, Lord God, as baby Jesus was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, that we feel that presence from you each and every second of our lives, that, Father God, a single moment with you is a life changer. It changes everything. It changes every circumstance. It changes every environment. It changes every situation. And we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd of our souls. We thank you, Father God, for the shepherd that you have placed here in Brian, Father God, and his family. We thank you, Father God, for him rightly dividing the word of truth to us, Lord God, with power, with authority, and with courage, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that nothing that single night transformed everything. And we are so thankful for it, Lord God. Continue to transform us, Lord God, as, Father God, we seek to be your vessels in transforming this world. In your son's name.